and rainy night. Tonight we will hear two very famous passages of Scripture, one from the boy who would grow up to be King David and the slaying of the giant through his slingshot, and the other through Jesus healing a crippled man's hand. And we'll draw out the connections and focus on the art of spiritual doing. Last week we focused on the art of spiritual listening, and tonight we will focus on the art of spiritual doing. Let's take a moment in the silence and ask the Holy Spirit to be our friend and teacher tonight, and that through this service and the quiet and through the love and consciousness would bless in some way the world in all its confusion. Amen.
For God's Word. The first reading is taken from 1 Samuel. David spoke to Saul, "Let your majesty not lose courage. I am at your service to go and fight this Philistine." But Saul answered David, "You cannot go up against this Philistine and fight with him, for you are only a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." David continued, "The Lord, who delivered me from the claws of the lion and the bear, will also keep me safe from the clutches of this Philistine." Saul answered David, "Go, the Lord will be with you." Then, staff in hand, David selected 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the pocket of his shepherd's bag. With his sling also ready to hand, he approached the Philistine. With his shield-bearer marching before him, the Philistine also advanced closer and closer to David. When he had sized David up and seen that he was youthful and ruddy and handsome in appearance, the Philistine held David in contempt. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come against with a staff?" Then the Philistine cursed David by his gods and said to him, "Come here to me, and I will leave your flesh for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David answered him, "You come against me with sword and spear and scimitar, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel that you have insulted. Today the Lord shall deliver you into my hand. I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will leave your corpse and the corpses of the Philistine army for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Thus the whole land shall learn that Israel has a God, and this multitude too shall learn that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he shall deliver you into our hands." The Philistine then moved to David at close quarters, while David ran quickly toward the battle line in the direction of the Philistine. David put his hand into the bag and took out a stone, hurled it with a sling, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone embedded itself in his brow, and he fell prostrate on the ground. Thus David overcame the Philistine with sling and stone. He struck the Philistine mortally and did it without a sword. Then David ran and stood over him. With the Philistine's own sword, which he drew from its sheath, he dispatched him and cut off his head. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for battle, my fingers for war, my refuge and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield in whom I trust, who subdues my people under me. O God, I will sing a new song to you, With a ten-stringed lyre I will chant your praise. You who give victory to kings and deliver David, your servant, from the evil sword. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Mark chapter 3. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent, looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart. Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
As I mentioned last week, the theme was the art of spiritual listening, cultivating that. And tonight, the theme is the art of spiritual action, or taking action. And I was reminiscing yesterday as I walked through the woods, and I had a flashback moment to childhood, kindergarten time frame. And I remember building a fort in the woods. And I remember wanting to be like the older kids who were teenagers. And they could go on their bikes anywhere in the neighborhood, and they were able to build much bigger forts than I could. And I remember wanting to be older than I was and to be able to do the things they did. And in a certain sense, being a child is a perfect example of our limited ability to do certain things. And being a child is a example of our limitations. And tonight, these three scripture readings have a particular theme that shows up in each one, that you wonder why the people that pair the readings, the Old Testament, the Psalm, and the Gospel, why they pair the ones that they do. And in this case, there's several reasons, but one of the reasons is the common theme of the hand that gets the five smooth stones and basically throws it with the slingshot like this and kills the Philistine with one rock, the hand that protects in the psalm. I'll read that for us. "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for battle, my fingers for war." And then, of course, Jesus using the energy of his hand as a symbol, saying, "Stretch out your lame hand toward me, and it will be made heal." So the theme of hands and what hands are doing is the consistency here in the three scriptures. And hands, as a symbol throughout Scripture, and not only in Scripture, but in general, are representative, are a symbol of our capacity to do or our power. And just as in childhood we lack power that an adult has, so too in life, our hand represents our power or weakness. We have a strong hand, could be one or the other, and a weak hand. And some people have two strong hands. But we know by way of analogy, that that's a really good way of thinking about it, that we have a strong hand and a weak hand, and we have strong aspects to ourselves, and we have weak aspects to ourselves. The hand represents our capacity to do or not to do. And so just two simple principles about the art of spiritual doing, because there's so many situations in our lives where we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to respond. We feel that we are incapable of doing anything, whether it be helping someone, solving a problem, addressing a particular pattern of behavior in our lives, dealing with the relationship, and we feel, to a large extent, powerless. And this powerlessness can be instructed by these two principles. So first of all, powerlessness is a beautiful place to be for all of us, because it lets us know and it signals to the quantum field that we don't have the capacity to do it on our own, that we need to ask for help. And this powerlessness, whether we're facing a Philistine giant that seems impossible or a bewildering sickness that can't be cured for a long period of time, whatever the situation may be, our powerlessness becomes the doorway into spiritual action. So that's the first thing. So if you feel like you do not have the capacity to do, like you're a child compared to all the adults who seem to be able to do things, that is a beautiful place to be. And that's a place of humility and faith and trust. So powerlessness is the environment in which our spiritual activity or our spiritual capacity to do begins to show up. So the first principle is taken from what David says to the Philistine. David essentially says what he will do. He declares what he will do. He doesn't say what he won't do. He doesn't say what seems to be impossible. He doesn't seem to say what has always been the case. He doesn't say, well, in certain situations, there's a 31% chance that. He simply declares what he is going to do, and he says, today the Lord shall deliver you into my hand. I will strike you down, cut off your head this very day, and he goes on in a very gruesome detail. So, the principle here is declare with your words and your thoughts what you will do and what God will do on your behalf. And this is a wonderful principle to live by. This is retraining of our mind. In many ways, what Lessons in Truth teaches us to do, Emily Cady's book, to make affirmations and denials by way of our words. That's the first principle. Declare what you will do. Do not focus on what you won't do. Do not focus on what isn't happening. Do not focus on what hasn't happened. Focus on what you will and what will occur. And that is a positive, energetic, metaphysical principle, that what we hold in mind happens in kind. And the second principle comes from Jesus. And Jesus, again, uses his words and calls out and says to the man, stretch out your hand. And so the second principle is to reach for what is not possible, to reach for what is not possible, and to call forth something from a deeper place in ourselves, to stretch a little bit, to be stretched a little bit. And this takes effort. And we think things should happen for us or to us, but this principle that Jesus is saying, you have to do something. You have to work, would be the basic way of summarizing it. Stretch. Be stretched. Be in pain. Reach for it. And that is, in part, a very, very important aspect of all of our capacity to do, to act from spiritual power, to stretch, to be stretched. And that stretching can be excruciating, especially if it goes on for a period of time and we have to wait on the Lord and we have to wait for the healing to happen or for the miracle to occur. And it seems as if it's never going to happen. That's part of the stretching. Stretch. Now, in this case, he stretched it out and instantly the hand was restored. And so this is a very beautiful example of someone whose words command, stretch forth your hand, and enact what was commanded. They command the man to stretch forth his hand, and then the word of Jesus seems to enact the very thing that Jesus commanded. So this is a reminder that in some cases, We have a spiritual power in our words that affects immediately. Like the word stop, and someone instantly will turn, and your word has an immediate power. And in this case, Jesus' word had an immediate effect. Perhaps that's because his word was at a higher wattage, higher energetic quality, so it was much more intense. For example, when I turn on my little electric stove, it takes a good 5 minutes for the stove to get hot enough to start cooking anything. There are some stoves, so I've seen, where the heat is instant, whether it's a gas stove or other kinds of heating methods, the energy is there immediately. And so in the similar way, that quality of energy in Jesus effected instant change through his word. And so we can learn from this that our evolution and growth has a capacity of increasing our wattage or connectivity to spirit so that we become more effective, clear channels of delivering the energy and effecting healing and the change through our words. Some people have this gift, spiritual gift, very clearly, and they are clear conduits of that. It is more safe to not know that you're a clear conduit and just trust that the healing or the action that you wish to occur through your words is going to unfold. But for most of us, it's not an instant thing. It takes time. So for example, say you're not dealing with an actual withered hand. Say you're dealing with a withered heart, a withered heart that has grown weary because it cannot forgive someone that has hurt it. And so little by little by little, your words of healing, forgiveness, of love, of nurture, over time can restore that heart to be able to forgive. So there's a degree of time that is involved sometimes. And in most of our cases, I would suspect that that healing energy or that capacity to do will require a repeated approach of speaking the healing energy and calling forth what is required multiple times over a period of time, and sometimes in some cases for years. I have heard of mothers who have prayed for their sons and daughters for years and years and years to be free of addictions. And sure enough, 30 years later, that freedom happens. So there's a real example here that Jesus shows us. But back to that flashback I had. I'm like a little kid, and Jesus is like those grown-up kids who could do whatever they want. I can aspire to be like Jesus, who has the ability to instantly bring healing. In my case, the healing isn't instant, as far as I know, in my life. But over a period of time, I have seen the fruitfulness of certain things I have said and done in other people's lives and other situations. And I can see a difference in degree of the healing. But there has been healing. So these are some simple principles that I think we can apply to our lives to come from a place of need and powerlessness, to declare what we will do, not focus on what can't be done or hasn't been done, and to call forth the stretching effort, and to trust that the healing will happen even if it requires more time on our behalf and more patience in declaring what it is that we are envisioning to occur. Amen. For those leaving an offering in the basket, we remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. We give freely and receive joyfully. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the power of the Holy Spirit flow through us, bringing spiritual action in the presence of the Spirit. Amen.